Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Trumpy Tuesday edition, the 5 o'clock happy hour. And it's happier still, Dom, when we get to find guests like John Nichols from The Nation. I don't have you in front of me, John. I hope you join us right now. Welcome back to the show.
I think I'm with you both.
All right. Hey, John. Thanks, man.
I can sense you.
You felt a shifting in the force, did you? Do you feel a dark shifting in the force? Donald Trump is coming to rally for Tim Michaels in Waukesha next Friday. It's like the Death Star is coming to our backyard.
You take Trump way too seriously. I don't think it'll be like a Death Star. I think it'll be like actually one of the more interesting circus events in history, because you're going to see former president of the United States, disgraced, disqualified, all such things, try to make an argument for a guy who lives in Connecticut to be the governor of Wisconsin. That's entertaining. I don't know if that's Death Star stuff. That's just fascinating.
Dom's worried about the associated fascism and violence and the...
Oh, well, that's bad. Yeah,
that's bad. That's bad.
Yeah. Well, and if we're going to extend the analogy beyond, John, I think it's the fact that Dom is an Ewok that's got him mostly concerned.
It's not that, John. It's highlighting, you know, the fact that this man, as we speak right now, continues to go unpunished for what he did. Now, seemingly, John, that's picking up, but... You know, my concern is that the longer these guys get away with it, the more it seems like to their followers that this is the way to do it.
That they are invincible, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want poor Tim Michaels to be convinced to behave in this way, right?
Right.
You know, so it's definitely there's a lot of negatives. Look, to be quite honest, and I'll deviate from my lighter fare here to just say, look, you know, there's simply no question that Donald Trump, you know, was the key conspirator in an attempted coup. That's seditious conspiracy at the least, perhaps treason. If we're realistic about it, this is someone who should definitely be prosecuted and should not be allowed ever to hold public office in the United States again. That's a baseline standard we set during the Civil War. It's a standard we set for collaborators with the British during the Revolutionary War. You know, I mean, there are just certain standards that we ought to have as a country, and Donald Trump has crossed them. So anybody who wants his endorsement, right off the bat, is pathetic, right? I mean, we should not be angry at Trump, but be also concerned about the people who actually want to be associated with him, because what they are saying is they don't have a problem with the sort of behaviors that we now know Trump was actively involved in. And I hear people now and again say, oh, well, you know, Donald Trump, he was a good president. He just behaved in some bad ways, right?
Yeah.
Well, with all due respect, you know, I mean, that is about the most absurd argument imaginable, because presidents aren't supposed to be able to do anything without working in collaboration with Congress. The president is an executive, not a king, right? And if you say somebody was good, they just behaved badly, well, that crosses every possible line that you want a president. So saying all of that and all those reasons why we should be concerned about Donald Trump being in our state, of course, I still am going to go back to the argument that, you know, with all due respect, this rally's got a lot of humor potential. And the number one The number one element of humor potential is that Donald Trump is going to be roughly, I don't know, like a 20-minute drive, 15-minute drive from Robin Voss's state legislative district. And so what I want to know is whether Donald Trump is going to be able to control himself on this Friday night before the primary election, and instead of just talking about Tim Michaels and probably trashing on Rebecca Clayfish and stuff like that and explaining why he isn't backing Ransom, all that, and then, you know, talking about Michael Gableman as if he was competent and things of that nature, will Donald Trump go off the rails and call for the removal of the Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly by primary voters?
I'm with you on that one. I bet he does.
Folks,
I don't see how he can control himself.
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. We got John Nichols. He's out stealing cars this afternoon, apparently.
Yeah.
I
ran away as soon as the alarm went off. So I don't think I'm going to get caught.
Well, let me ask you.
I apologize.
You know, beyond your
in the neighborhood here. Yeah.
You're a multifaceted guy, John Nichols. But let me ask you a little more on the political side.
All right.
Every single one of the gubernatorial candidates that was on the stage Sunday night had gone and bent the knee to Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago, my understanding. Now, Trump's coming for Tim Michaels. You know, Becky Clayfish has got to be home heartbroken. That's in Waukesha County. That is literally her backyard.
He's coming into her territory, man. And it is clearly, this is a hit, right? A political hit. Endorsing Michaels was one thing. Coming to Clayfish's base on the Friday before the primary, knowing that Trump has now convinced Republicans that they shouldn't vote early, that they should all vote on primary day. So a late appearance actually matters, as it might not matter so much on the Democratic side. But coming in at this very late stage and making a strong pitch for Tim Michaels in the territory where, you know, Clayfish has to run her numbers if she's possibly going to have a chance of being nominated, this is clearly intended. You know, there are strategists who sat around and said, well, how do we ruin Rebecca Clayfish's chances of becoming governor, or at least becoming the Republican nominee for governor? And this is what they decided to do. It's hardcore stuff. And it's sort of classic Trump. He has chosen an inept, kind of bumbling candidate who, you know, barely clawed his way through the debate the other day. And who's got real residency issues. Like, he's so unfamiliar with where he lives that he couldn't even fill out his nomination papers. And Trump is going to, you know, go all in for this guy.
And could you believe, John, the reason why, as I understood it through, I think it was the reporting of Daniel Bice at the Journal Sentinel, it was all because Joel and Rebecca's daughter went on a Plutonic prom date with Hagedorn's kid and tweeted about it, and that was the sin that actually earned Michaels the endorsement from Donald Trump, if you believe the account being told at Mar-a-Lago from Michaels' team.
Why would that surprise you in any sense? how does that in any way seem out of character for Donald Trump? Right? It's like pathetic sub-high school stuff. The kids themselves, right, who went on a date, you know, they're far more mature than Donald Trump. Right. Donald Trump is, you know, he's stuck in around seventh grade, and his behaviors reflect that. And so I don't know if that's true. But what I can tell you is that Donald Trump waded into the Wisconsin race on behalf of a candidate who wasn't serious and wouldn't have been treated all that seriously if he didn't, A, have a ton of his own money to spend, and he's spending very freely, and B, have Donald Trump's endorsement. I mean, there's not a single thing by the baseline standard of what you would say you would want in a governor that Tim Michaels is presenting. Now, I'm not a big, you know, advocate for Rebecca Clayfish. You know, I disagree with her on pretty much every issue. But the fact of the matter is, she's been around, right? She has, you know, run campaigns. She has been active in politics. She's been highly engaged. And frankly, you know, she had the wherewithal to beat the Republican establishment back in 2010 when she forced her way onto Scott Walker's ticket. And so the bottom line is that by any measure, she's a more competent candidate than Michaels. But, you know, there's a very good chance that, Trump's small thumb on his small hand will be sufficient to tip the scale.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocate. That's John Michaels from The Nation and The Cap Times here in Wisconsin. John, we got about 2 minutes left in this segment. Why don't I get your sense of Merrick Garland and the DOJ's efforts to date? NBC News is reporting that Garland did an interview with Holt. Holt asked him that if Trump were to become president again, would that change your schedule or how you move forward or don't move forward? Garland said, quote, "I'll say again, we will hold accountable anyone who is criminally responsible for attempting to interfere with the transfer, legitimate, lawful transfer of power from one administration to the next." And that comes on top of reporting from ABC News that Mark Short, the former chief of staff to Vice President Mike Pence, as well as Greg Jacob, Pence's former chief counsel, who both testified to the J6, also testified before a federal grand jury. What's your sense of how the AG is moving forward on this, on these cases, John?
Well, look, there's a way to understand Merrick Garland. He is a judge, not an attorney general, right? And it happened that because of some, you know, very unfair things that happened to him on his way to the U.S. Supreme Court,
right?
He ended up being a choice for attorney general. But he does not have the demeanor or the style of a classic AG, you know, some sort of a crusading figure who is willing to, you know, talk quite bluntly about what they're seeking to accomplish, because the attorney general is the executive of law enforcement in the United States. Merrick Garland doesn't see himself that way. He sees himself much more as a judge, so he's very quiet about what he does and very circumspect. It's torturous to watch him talk about, you know, going after wrongdoers, because he doesn't want to say anything that's too blunt or too bold. And so a lot of people, I think, are very uncomfortable with him as AG. They say, you know, boy, I don't know what he's doing. I don't have a clear picture of it. My sense is that he is indeed working with the career staff at the Department of Justice, working on some sort of prosecution that will target Donald Trump and his associates for their attempted coup. The question is how serious the charges will be and, you know, how far that inquiry will go. Will it go to actual charging? Will it go to actual prosecution?
John Nichols from The Nation. John, please stick around for one more segment. We will come back with John Nichols, our friend from The Nation magazine. We'll be right back.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Please make sure you check us out on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio, of course, online if you miss any of this fine program for podcasts and interviews at darnwi.com.
Dominic, we got a fine guest. He is John Nichols from The Nation. And, John, we hear predictions that Donald Trump is running for the presidency. The only question, will he announce before the midterms or after? John, you know, maybe I'm being a little too strategic for our own good, but I would say before will certainly crystallize what's on the ballot. I love the fact that Donald Trump's coming to Waukesha for Tim Michaels. None of the candidates talked about Trump on the debate stage. They almost seemed normal. If you were a watcher, if you were a passive watcher of the debate on Sunday night, you could see any of these candidates. Hell, you could see Rantham in the general elective. The only tell was the crowd reaction, John.
That's right. When they booed Charles Benson for pointing out that, the election was actually legitimate. Look, the fact of the matter is that you asked a whole bunch of questions. Let's answer them quickly. Is Donald Trump going to run for president again? Of course. I mean, have you not been paying attention? He doesn't even accept that he isn't president now. How would he not run again? That's the most comic question in the world. Of course he's going to run again. And then the next question is, the next question is, does Ron DeSantis really think he has a chance? Answer, no. Then the next question is, when will he announce? And the answer to that is that all indications are that Trump would like to announce in, say, September or October. There's a reason for that, and it has to do with internal Republican politics. He wants to make sure that he preempts other potential candidates. He doesn't want a Tom Cotton or a Ron DeSantis or Kristi Noem or someone like that to announce like the day after the election and get ahead of him. So I think he does have an inclination. I'm not sure he will, but I think his inclination will be to do a late September announcement and then to kind of slide that right into the midterm campaign, making himself central to the campaign. Now, you're right that having Trump identified as a force out there has an impact on the campaign, and I think it does help to mobilize Democrats. But you should also take in that there is a Republican strategy for it as well, which is that there are a lot of Trump backers who have no interest in the rest of the Republican Party. It means nothing to them. And so if Trump makes himself a central figure in the fall campaign, there is some possibility that they can mobilize some more of those folks. So the reality is that both sides get a little something out of this, but my sense is that you're right, that the Democrats get a little more, and that's particularly true, frankly, if the January 6th committee does its work, and by sometime in September, early October, we've got real clarity. I think we already have it, but clarity in the broad sense as regards Trump's high crimes and misdemeanors.
John, in that regard, let's speak briefly about the last election. We play a promo of Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, saying that, you know, Trump got less votes than the down-ticket Republicans, and Trump is damaged material now than he was then. I mean, do you think that he will pull out, that he'd be able to, you know, turn that around? It doesn't seem that to be the case to me, did decide to actually run.
He hasn't turned it around. You mean that he might actually get elected in 2020?
Right.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it depends on who he's running against, and it depends on the circumstance, right? If things are bad enough, you'd be surprised who voters might elect. And so if the economy really tanks and you have a few other factors in play, then you can hear the ambulance coming. That's the emergency situation.
they caught you breaking into the car, John.
No. I'm hiding behind a building right now.
All right.
I don't think they're going to find me. But the bottom line, though, is that if circumstances are, you know, kind of wrong and bad in every way, then, yeah, Trump has a chance. And I think you have to take that seriously. And here's one of the reasons why you have to take it seriously. Donald Trump and his supporters, his allies, have been absolutely meticulous about trying to wire the electoral process. And so Hugh Dom assume that to win Donald, quote unquote, win, Donald Trump would have to get the most votes.
Or at least
legitimately carry the electoral college. But what happens if, for instance, the Republicans really do succeed in electing a new Secretary of State in Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, potentially a couple other states, maybe even, you know, a new governor in Pennsylvania. I don't think that'll happen. But bottom line is, if they did, then all of the things we saw on January 6, 2021 will look like a template for a much more carefully constructed and aggressively implemented coup attempt in 2025. So I think we should be wary. I'm not in the camp that says that you should just assume that Donald Trump is such ruined goods that he couldn't end up with power.
John, my final
in a perilous place.
Sorry to interrupt you, John. My final worry for you today, sir, that Wisconsin voters are going to see a guy like Tim Michaels and think I'd have a beer with that guy.
Well, Tim Michaels, it seems like he might have 5 or 6 beers with the guy, right? I mean, you know, he seems like a guy who's riding on the back of a boat on Sunday afternoon, right? And that's how he comes across. That doesn't necessarily disqualify him, but I think he's very, very different than one of his key supporters. His key supporter, Tommy Thompson, who, by the way, is a much more important supporter than Donald Trump in many ways, Tommy Thompson was somebody you could say, yeah, I could have a beer with Tommy Thompson. Absolutely. But the fact is, if you had a beer with Tommy Thompson, you'd be discussing serious stuff that Tommy Thompson knew a lot about. And that isn't the case with Tim Michaels. He has in no way presented any evidence whatsoever. He also, frankly, I think the way to catch him on anything is, you know, it is ask him what his favorite sports team is and see whether he mentions the team from Wisconsin or Connecticut.
Nice.
You are a brilliant man, John Nichols from the Nation.
Metro area.
John, if I get a crack at Michaels, I'm going to ask him. But first, you got to show up, Dom. Thank you, John. More Devil's Advocates. More of your calls. 844-967-2780.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Money. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Trumpy Tuesday edition. Sorry about that. But you're welcome for the last fine guest. We always appreciate when John Nichols from The Nation comes around. And I've got some new breaking news out of the great state of Wisconsin. Wispolitics reporting at this moment, or at least I found it during the commercial break. We've talked a lot about the fact that former President Donald Trump is scheduled to travel to Waukesha next Friday for a rally. We expect to be there. Of course, primary election day in the state of Wisconsin is August 9th. But we've got some new news, Dom. New news.
New news. Break it for me, brother.
Endorsement in the gubernatorial race, perhaps bigger than that of Donald Trump. U.S. Senator Ted Cruz has endorsed Becky Clayfish.
Oh, the fight is on.
The proxy battle for the soul of Wisconsin. If Trump's going to back Michaels, Ted Cruz is backing Becky Clayfish, which is a twofold. One, it tells you that Ted Cruz has every intention of running in 2024. Otherwise, why wade into the race? Why wage this proxy battle against Donald Trump, right? Very publicly in the state of Wisconsin. Because you know it's going to bring some pain your way. And ultimately, how desperate is Rebecca Clayfish when you're accepting endorsements from Ted Cruz?
Come on, man. Ted Cruz won the GOP presidential primary in Wisconsin, right?
By double digits.
Over Trump.
He did.
He did. So Ted Cruz is actually the winner of the GOP, right? Last time he went up against Trump in the primary.
In the state of Wisconsin.
Ted Cruz, man, he came through.
That was a long time ago. And he's, you know, if you think Trump has had some despicable moments, Ted Cruz ran off to Cancun in the interim.
Yeah, Cancun, when people were dying in Texas, and then he can't. Yeah. Ted Cruz, also a pathetic human being.
Ted Cruz also came out this week for the overturning of same-sex marriage. And even Rebecca Clayfish would not have that advocacy. She apparently does not want to overturn same-sex marriage. Tim Michaels? Oh, he does. But this is really a proxy war for, you know, the presidency in 2024, Dom. And John Nichols thinks like I do that Donald Trump's in it to win it, baby. You know, or at least
didn't you just also say yesterday that you can say just because you say you're running doesn't mean you're running? I'm pretty sure we had that conversation briefly yesterday.
Actually file. And I know that he would qualify for the ballot. Do you have any doubt that Trump could qualify for the ballot? There should be no doubt. He's done it before. He qualifies for the ballot.
Yes. Again, we're a couple years out from that.
But we're not. The primaries start, you know, effectively next year, right after this election. And Trump may not even wait until after this election.
I hope he doesn't. Listen, given the fact that we know as of now with the investigations going on, I don't think he can run out the clock. I mean, I don't see how Trump makes it to the end of the year without getting indicted.
But that doesn't make him unelectable, at least in Republican primaries. That does not make him unelectable. You'd think it would, but it will not, unless he's convicted and rotting in Leavenworth. He is still your GOP presumptive nominee in 2024, with or without indictments.
I guess that's entirely possible. Some of the mega base will never, ever, ever, ever leave him because they want him as a dictator. But if you have, again, what we've seen, I think the numbers are shifting as the support for Trump may be waning in some of those Republican circles. I believe that the J6 hearings are having an impact. I believe the slow trickle of information, the slow subpoenas and indictments. I mean, it continues.
I could tell.
I mean, it was Georgia Governor Brian Kemp testified to the grand jury in Fulton County yesterday. So, I mean, listen, and we know Mike Pence, his chief of staff and his attorney this week have testified before a grand jury, a DOJ grand jury investigating.
But
right?
That's that's more likely to be about the fake electors. And I'd like to see movement on that. We saw new reporting from the New York Times. I mean, they were being called fake electors in real time by some of the participants.
In their own communications, yes.
Yeah.
Who do you think is in charge of the fake elector scheme, man? I mean, these are all about to, you know, try to get Eastman to flip, try to get some of these people to flip. But Trump's the guy. They're going after Trump. It may take another 6 months, but they're going after Trump. And
but
when
I
that
think
happens.
That's the level the DOJ is at right now. I think they're still dealing with the fake electors and the pressure campaign on the vice president. And I think that's why they got his chief of staff and you know, what was that, counsel for him?
Yes, Jacob.
Anyways, when the indictments come and the convictions come, you know, we'll start by celebrating Merrick Garland Day. And here's one thing. I think that our pal, and I'm more optimistic than John Nichols. I know you don't think I am, but I'm more optimistic than Nichols because he called Merrick Garland a judge. Perhaps a justice in waiting. That should have been the role. But he was also a prosecutor. He prosecuted Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bombing successfully. Everybody.
Yeah.
Wrapped it all up. Not just McVeigh, but also his accomplices. Without leaks, and dropped that indictment and brought him all to conviction. So, you know, he does have a little track record to look back upon. But anyways, Tom.
But to think that when that comes to pass, that will not have an impact on a lot of Republicans, GOPs, the ones that are left.
Before that happens.
We could be, or it could be next month. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we don't know.
Could be, but I'm assuming Trump's acting as if he's running for the presidency, and he intends to run for the presidency, and he intends to steal all the thunder, and if possible, the campaign contributions that invariably would normally go to the midterm candidates, right? But what if he could put a net out there and start scooping now? He's already doing that. But what if he announced he's running for the presidency? Why let them donate to, you know, the J.D. Vances of the world, the Ron Johnsons of the world? Why wouldn't Trump want to get his grift out front?
It's grift tour, man. It's insurrectionist tour. Not only is he coming to Wisconsin for GOP Tim Michaels' gubernatorial candidacy, his run, he's also coming in August for the, you know,
well, that's
freedom tour. Freedom tour. From $9 to $4,000. The grift continues. And as soon as he declares, and a whole bunch of other regulations are supposed to come down on that. Again, I'm not clear. I know you believe it, and I know it would make sense. But again, even if you say you're running, even if you file it, are you really running?
He was in D.C. today laying out the new material for the new campaign, this jail the drug dealers, right? He's already working on material in front of the crowds to see what plays best in front of the mob, so he knows what to say when they start televising each and every speech, because he'll be the first declared presidential candidate.
He'll be the first declared presidential candidate who's under indictment.
Could be. Actually, I think someone did run for president from jail. But let's talk about the other guy, Joe Biden, for just a minute.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new polling out at CNN? CNN poll. 75% of Democratic voters. Hear that? 75% of Democratic voters want someone other than Biden in 2024. That's our party. Want someone other than Biden. Three out of four Dennis say anybody but Biden. And that's our party, dude. A little bit more from this polling. It's a little depressing, at least if you're part of the Biden campaign reelection team. New CNN poll, 75% of Democrat and Democrat-leaning voters, they do use the Democratic at CNN, want the party to nominate someone other than President Joe Biden in the 2024 election, a sharp increase from earlier this year. And the poll comes as Biden's approval rating remains low, and most Americans are discontented with the state of the country and the economy. Inflation remains high, although I'd point out gas well below $3 a gallon, at least here in Madison, Wisconsin. And a new report released Tuesday showed, and this must be the one that our pal CJ caught before I did. Well, here it is, CJ. Someone quoted a source. A new report released Tuesday showing consumer confidence slipped for the third straight month. Now, 24% of Democratic and Democratic-leaning voters said they want someone else because they don't think Biden can win in 2024. That's up from 18% in the prior polling. 32% feel that way because they don't want Biden to be reelected. That's Democrats. A third of Democrats don't believe Joe Biden deserves to be reelected. That's up from 16% earlier this year. And 25% said they prefer Biden as the nominee, and which was at 45% in January and February polling. 45 to 25%. 25% of Democrats say, yeah, Biden's still our guy. That's getting to be a low number. I mean, 78% of Republicans down at that stupid conference this week, the Young Nazi conference, 78% of them chose Donald Trump to be the 2024 GOP nominee. So just see the difference in the engagement levels of these two parties. That guy's a cold beater, right?
I mean, listen, this is I'm not clear that that's a side-by-side given the polling data and the Turning Point, whatever, Charlie Kirk organization being the same. But, yeah, I think there's no doubt that there is a lack of enthusiasm. CNN goes on to say the poll shows a sharp downturn in enthusiasm for a 2024 reelection bid by the president. In January, February, 51% of Democrat and Democratic-leaning voters said they wanted someone other than Biden as a nominee in 2024. The new poll, Crudy, 31%. 51 down to 31% of Democratic and Democratic-leaning voters 45 years and older, again, would prefer to Biden to be president, the
now
nominee
look at
in 2024.
Under 45. So, if I heard you correctly, Dom, of all Democratic voters, understanding it's only 25% of all Democratic-leaning voters that want Biden to run for re-election. And if you're over 45, and, you know, I just crested above that.
barely.
The number is 31% support for the president. That means older Democrats.
Right. If you're under 45.
Younger than 45, what's the number, Dom?
Oh, 18%. Oof.
Yeah, turning out young voters, that's going to be a problem if you have 18% for the incumbent. Now, those numbers can change dramatically as well, Dom.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we got a long way to go, but that doesn't bode well.
Here is the other footnote from this poll. The poll also showed a majority of Republican and Republican-leaning registered voters say they do not want former President Donald Trump to be the party's nominee in 2024. 55% said they want someone other than Trump to be the nominee. That's up from 49%. So Trump is far more popular, even if he's, you know, not as popular as
even if he's underwater, he's not underwater as much.
Not like Biden is with the party. Do you see new party polling came out of New Hampshire today that had, and I would have to confirm this, but had Pete Buttigieg leading Biden?
New Hampshire shows 31% of New Hampshire Democrats want Biden to run for reelection. 59 do not want him to run again.
Separate polling, though, that gives a head-to-head.
With regards
between
to
Buttigieg and Biden.
In June, that number was 54%. New Hampshire Democrats said they did not want him to run again. 844-967-2789. Google it, Crudy.
I would Google it if I could spell Buttigieg.
just start typing, man. Google will figure it out for you. Let's squeeze in at least one caller here. Dick from Madison, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, in Donald Trump's own words, you remember when he said, if you plead the fifth, you're guilty?
Yes.
He also said this, treason. When he talked about treason, he talked about treasonists should be, what, executed. Isn't that interesting? And what is he, if you go forward, both things. If he ever had to go before a jury, a grand jury or to do any testimony, you know he's going to lie. So he perjures himself. And insofar, you know, I don't want the Secret Service here, but we're crying out loud. This guy says it in his own words, what should be done with somebody like him.
Well, but treason, as he defines it, is disloyalty of others.
Disloyalty of Donald Trump specifically.
Come back, more Devils. Last chance for your calls.
Stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Come on, man.
And with the local DBC News, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Rockin' My Peers, putting suckers in fear. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789.
You are LL Cool Dom. Dominic, I wanted to reference, you know, I always try to quote my sources, CJ. See how we do this? New polling out of New Hampshire, the Granite State, right? Early polling state. Hell, we don't even know what the first, if there'll be a caucus state like Iowa.
Right.
But we know that New Hampshire is going first in the, you know, primary election for the next president. So the first 2024 head-to-head polling I've seen, or at least, you know, candidate polling I've seen for the Democrats, Biden ain't in first place. And he's the incumbent. Here is the new polling. Again, this was CNN polling, I believe. Let me make sure that's true. Pete Buttigieg, Transportation Secretary, received 17% support amongst likely Democratic primary voters, while Biden was at 16%. This marks a shift from earlier polling where Biden had, you know, like a lead. The new poll had Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren and California Governor Gavin Newsom at 10% each, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar at 9%, my guy Bernie Sanders at 8%, and VP Kamala Harris at 6%. What do you make of that, Dom?
What's the margin of error?
The guy reading it. with a little over 2 years, and they didn't give me the crosstab.
Okay, no, that's fine.
I don't have all that information.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, 16 and 17, that's within the margin of error. I don't know, but I highly doubt that, who's coming to 10, the two people coming to 10, Elizabeth Warren and Gavin Newsom, that's probably outside of the margin of error. I don't know if it'd be a 6 or 7 point margin of error, but it depends on the poll. So basically a tie, and with Elizabeth Warren and Newsom coming up, tying for a second. Long way to go, and you see who's being active and who's not. I mean, Newsom is all over the radio and television. I mean, he's down in Florida, pushing people around. So he's got stuff to say. Buttigieg, I've seen him on television quite a bit recently. So he's making himself available and known as well. So that's
a tie.
Well,
he wants to run for president again. Let's not forget Mayor Pete. When we met the guy, he was Mayor Pete.
Yeah.
And where did we see him? We saw him on the Iowa State campus, I believe. And he had about 1,000 at the rally. And I took that as a disappointing thing. And I thought, Mayor Pete, if he couldn't turn out young voters, what good was he? Now we look at this support for Joe Biden amongst the young. You know, it's like 18% under 45, which feels younger and younger every day to me.
Doesn't it, though?
But Pete Buttigieg was not the candidate of the young voter. I mean, Bernie had more support amongst young voters in Iowa, where we were on the ground, or at least I was most often. Saw lots of rallies. Saw the enthusiasm for the respective candidates. Pete Buttigieg is the nice young man that your grandma loves. But I don't know about the grandkids.
How about Sanders in that polling? Was he at 8 or 9?
8%. Yeah.
Pretty disappointing.
Bernie declared, Hampshire is the neighboring state. Bernie is also old.
Yes.
You know, what are you going to replace Biden with an older, crankier model? Although I told you earlier today, to my perception, if Bernie Sanders was currently the president, and I get it, he's not.
Are you sure? Because I think it's kind of a thing for people to just say, well, my guy lost, but he didn't really lose. He's actually the president. I mean, this is
You're
how
right.
we're doing
Donald
politics
Trump
now.
Donald Trump is the president, Dom. Yeah. CJ was right this whole time.
This whole time.
No, Bernie didn't win in 16. He didn't win in 20, right? Didn't win the primary. Conceded very early, by a little after Super Tuesday. I mean, the pandemic had set in. I think the last live event we did, we joined our friends at AM 950 up in Minneapolis. We're up in the cities. But just a couple of minutes left. If you're listening on AM 950, join the party, 844-967-2789. Let's get to the audience.
Andy from Beaver Dam, you have been waiting the longest. You are next. Welcome, sir. What do you have for us?
Well, I didn't call the bitch about the weather, so you should be feeling better about that. The weather is gorgeous. I don't think we have much. The only thing we can do as far as Garland's concerned is be patient. You know, I think, you know, maybe, you know, with any kind of luck, he's going to make sure he's got a solid case. Whether Trump ever goes to jail, that's another question. But I think, you know, I think things will all come together. I don't know. That's the way I'm looking at it. But
I'll patience, you young Padawan.
You know, Andy, I've got an early weather report on next Tuesday's live show out at Hawks Bar. The early forecast is glorious weather. God loves the Devil's Advocate and wants to see you there. 81 degrees and sunny on Tuesday.
Good. Because remember last year it rained.
Yeah,
it never happened. It never rained.
That never happened.
The party was swell. You know, people were just moist because, you know, it was a little humid that day.
They were having so much fun. Andy, thanks for calling, man. Hope to see you and all of our fair audience at Hawks next week. Let's keep going on the phones, 844-967-2789. PT, you are up. Welcome. What do you have for us?
Paul, what's up? Oh, Paul's asleep at the switch. Come on,
Paul. Oh, no. Paulie, what's going on, man? All right, call us back.
You could have been
Paul.
A hero. Instead, you're being a zero. So that's it. We're going to end with a thud. Thanks, BT.
No, it's not a thud. The breaking news of the day that we never really, really got to, the New York Times, the emails. They have released emails.
They found Hillary's emails?
Previously, to undisclosed emails provide an inside look at the increasingly desperate and often slapdash efforts by advisors to Trump to reverse the election defeat in weeks before the attack, including acknowledgments that key elements of their plan was of dubious legality and lived up to its billing as fake. Now, I'm just saying, I mean, there's a lot of emails here that are going back and forth. Like, for instance, this one, Jack Wilnelchik, a Phoenix-based lawyer, quote, "We would just be sending in, quote, fake," so fake is in quotes, "electoral votes so Pence that someone in Congress can make an objection when they start counting the votes, start arguing that the fake votes should be counted. Fake votes." In a follow-up email, he wrote that, quote, "alternative votes is probably a better term than fake votes," adding a smiley face emoji. Now, way to really spark up your insurrection, sir. Just because you put it in quotes, your plan, we're going to crude, we're going to rob the bank. Smiley face emoji, right? It's still robbing a bank, even if you put it in quotes, even if you follow it up with a cute little emoji.
You know, I was looking for like a Murder One analogy, like eliminate the witness instead of shoot him in the head. You know, like a nicer way of saying it.
Like,
and
like,
of course,
I don't, like
a
Mike
smiley
Pence,
face emoji.
Like Mike Pence disappointed us. He disappointed me.
Smiley face. Thank you to our fine guest, John Nichols from The Nation. Smiley face emoji.
For sure.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Evan, for helping us make the show go today. Now, stick around. It's a Tuesday. We got Native Roots Radio and Busted Pencils. Dr. Slecker, educated educators talking education. Please stick around.
Feeling lucky tonight, Sparky?